Tonight I want to be sharing out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, familiar section that we've all probably read many times. I want to delve into one particular phrase that's one of the characteristics of charity or the love of God as we know it. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, charity suffers long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and number 9 in the section, thinketh no evil. The list continues to go on, but specifically tonight, I want to look at this characteristic that agape love thinks no evil. And you might think to yourself, is that possible? I mean, we've all kind of probably had certain types of thoughts and, you know, maybe wondered, boy, am I thinking evil about this situation? Well, maybe it's a little deeper than that, guys. So that word is an accounting term, really. It's the word logizomai. And it's an accounting term that would be better translated to count or to reckon. It literally meant to credit to someone's account. So we think about a bookkeeper. Think of a Jewish bookkeeper out there, your CPA or whoever. Or maybe it's you. Meticulously, you keep accurate financial records. But in this case, the bookkeeper, that person is the one who's been offended, who keeps detailed records of every wrong that was ever done to him. And just as our bookkeeper has an entry for every debit and credit on the books, this person who's been offended painstakingly stores in his memory all the mistakes, the faults, the grievances, the disappointments, the failures, or perceived wrongdoings that someone has made against him. And rather than forgive and let it go, the offended person has carefully maintained records of each action done to him that he deemed unjust or unfair. This is certainly not the way love behaves. If you want to know how love behaves, then you can look at the behavior of God towards you. Although God could drag up your past before you all the time, he doesn't do that, does he?
Nope.
In fact, after he forgave you, according to Psalm 103:3 and other places, it says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, God decided he wouldn't deal with you according to your sins or reward you according to your iniquities or transgressions. It says so in verse 10 of Psalm 103, has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Although he could remember your past mistakes if he chose to do so, God doesn't. And he never will choose to remember them. So God thinks a little differently than we do sometimes. You know, in Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You see, that's really how the love of God works, and that's how it behaves. So, you know, if you're ever tempted to keep mental records of wrongs that someone has done to you, you need to be aware that you're not extending and giving to that person the same mercy that God has given to you. A great man once said, I have no problem forgiving others when I remember what God has forgiven me for. And boy, is that a deep truth, but yet a simple truth. Someone who has been forgiven as much as you have been forgiven has no right to keep a record of someone else's mistakes, just like that bookkeeper. When you can flip back, you know, a month, 2 months, checking your record, seeing when that person offended you the last time, and boy, it's just like opening a new wound, isn't it? And bang, all of a sudden something tumbles out. Well, maybe another way to look at these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. So a good question to ask yourself, and for me to ask myself, is there anyone you're holding hostage in your mind because of what you deem to be an inappropriate action taken against you? If that person did wrong, and it's right for you to confront him or her in love. But once you have dealt with the matter, you need to release the offense and let it go. You know, Jesus, just as Jesus released you from your past and is believing that you are now on the right track, you know, if you have a hard time releasing people from their past wrongs and misdeeds, it could be a sign that you need the love of God to be released in your life and me. The fact that you're slipping back to that old records of wrongs again and again, bringing up the past and the grievances that should have been forgiven and forgotten, means that we still have a ways to go. We're a work in progress. Maybe we haven't been completely perfected in the love of God. So here's a good recommendation. Throw your diary away. Throw your record-keeping books away. Didn't God throw his diary about your past away? You know, when people hurt us and then they apologize, we may say that we forgive them. But like a dog that won't give up a bone, we may let our mind continue to chew on things that have happened in the past. You know, when Paul declared love thinks so evil, we realized it was like an accountant's term. It was describing the recording of figures in a book. Well, guess what? Love does just the opposite. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Instead, love forgives and refuses to keep it on the books. So here's what you do if you want to remember something. You go over it and over it and over it again and again and again, and you review it in your mind, and many times you're talking about it and speaking of it. You know, a child reviews his spelling words. An actress rehearses her lines. You review people's names that you want to remember. Get the point? But love deliberately and consciously releases and lets go of past hurts and gives them to God. You know, it was said of one religious leader who never forgot slights done to him, which was his fundamental weakness. He might bury the hatchet for a time, but he gave the impression of always marking the spot. You know, in contrast to that, there was a gentleman who was addressing Christmas cards. A friend noticed one name and he remarked, "Don't you remember how he slighted you?" To which this person responded, "Oh yes, I remember, but I have remembered to forget." And that's what I've entitled this teaching tonight, guys, Remembering to Forget. That's exactly what we're being called upon to do day by day by day. Just like God has done with us, we now are imitators of him. We're not faking it. We're not being hypocrites. We genuinely want to extend the same kind of mercy and the same kind of grace that God has just so richly given to us. And, boy, we just don't have enough words to describe it. Well, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Because I believe that this is a viable, practical way to implement forgiveness. Boy, if you read the verses ahead of this, especially in verse 31, Ephesians 4:31, this is from the New King James Version. It says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking," that's five things there, "be put away from you with all malice." Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, those are not good things. And those are things that God is addressing here in Ephesians chapter 4. These are the relationships that people have in interpersonal relationships. We're fighting for the mystery here, guys. We're fighting for something bigger than, "I don't like him, she doesn't like me, I don't like their personality. They do this, wait a second here. So here are three things that we can do to offset. First of all, verse 32, kind. Be ye kind one to another. Second thing, tender-hearted. Third thing, forgiving one another. Why? Well, even as God in Christ's sake forgave you. Well, Barney, that sounds like a really good solution. Have you ever been hurt? You know what? I'm a human being. I lived almost 68 years on this planet. And the answer to that question is yes. So I could allow and probably have allowed certain things to fester and just not be so pleasant in my life for periods of time. But you know what? I see the exhortation of God's word. I see God's heart in his word. He's not giving us things to do that are going to be detrimental to us. He wants us freed so we can really live for him. And one of the things that really holds us back many times is unforgiveness. You know, in Corinthians it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the great tools that the adversary uses to distance people, cause division, do all sorts of strange and weird things that are really so unnecessary, is to have lack of forgiveness, to have unforgiveness in a person's heart. And it leads to these things like it's talking about in verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Those are all fruits of unforgiveness. Be around somebody. Maybe if that person's been you. Maybe that person's been me. Boy, if I get hurt, it's hard to keep my mouth shut. See? It's like I want to tell everybody else about it. Except maybe the person who did the do. And maybe they're not even around that I can talk to them about it. But you know what? I need to offer forgiveness. I need to release myself from the burden of carrying that. And in verse 32, so practical. Kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiving, releasing the offender. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Release the offender. Half the time, people don't even know they've done anything. So here's what this is all about, guys. You remember to forgive, okay? But then remember to forget. Remember to forgive, but then remember to forget. Heavenly Father, thank you for simplicity. Father, you want us to live free of anything that would burden us down, and sometimes it's just these things like this that just hold us back, Father, that put a wall up. And God, we don't want Satan to get an advantage of us. We want to kick his behind all the way from now until the gathering together. So help us be strong men and women of God to put into application these simple truths, Father, that you've given to us so that we can be men and women after your own hearts. I'm not saying it's easy, God. I know that sometimes it's very difficult, but help us to get over our pride and help us to have a peaceful, calm heart and a certain level of maturity in being able to see that the promise of your word, the truth of your word, Father, are far greater than our feelings and our emotions that so many times get in the way. Thank you for the deliverance, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.